Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a moonlit jungle riser in Ableton Live 12, something that feels modern, punchy, and clean, but still carries that ragga and vintage jungle character. So think less generic whoosh, more transition with attitude. This is the kind of riser that can lead into a drop, a switch up, or a breakdown return in a DNB track and actually feel musical, not just functional. We're aiming for that sweet spot where the sound is tight enough to cut through a busy arrangement, but dirty enough to hint at classic jungle energy. And because we're in drum and bass, timing matters. Everything here should feel controlled, deliberate, and ready to hit at around 174 BPM. First, set up a dedicated transition track. You can call it Moonlit Riser. Keeping this on its own track or in its own group makes it easier to shape, automate, and reuse later. That's a big intermediate level move right there. Instead of scattering transition effects across the project, build a chain you can control like an instrument. Start with your main synth layer. Wave Eatable is a great choice here, because it gives you a fast route to a modern-sounding rise. Operator can also work, if you want a slightly more analog or FM-style character, but Wave Eatable is probably the quickest path to this result. Choose a waveform that has some brightness and harmonic movement, but don't make it harsh right away. You want something that opens up nicely as it rises. Put a low-pass filter after it, and start the cutoff fairly low, somewhere in the few hundred hertz range. The point is to make the sound grow in size over time, not just get louder. Now automate pitch upward across the phrase. In a lot of cases, a rise of around 7 to 12 semitones over 2, 4 or 8 bars will give you that classic lift. But don't stop there. One of the biggest differences between a basic build and a convincing DNB transition is motion in the filter and the tone, not just pitch. So automate the cutoff opening gradually, then let it open faster near the end. That last second acceleration is what makes the riser feel like it's lunging forward. And here's a useful teacher tip. Use automation curves instead of straight lines. A linear ramp can sound a little too mechanical. If the movement starts slow and then steepens near the end, the rise feels more alive. That's especially important in ragga flavor DNB, where you want the movement to feel human and full of pressure, not sterile. Next, let's bring in the vintage soul. This is where the ragga or jungle texture layer comes in. Use a vocal chop, a short MC phrase, or even a tiny break fragment. The key is not to make it the main hook. Treat it like atmosphere with personality. If you use a vocal, chop out one short syllable and repeat it rhythmically. You don't need perfect lyrical clarity. In jungle, these kinds of vocal fragments often work like percussion. They respond to the drums, they add attitude, and they give the transition a human edge. If you use a break fragment, focus on hats, tiny snare pickups, or a short slice of rhythmic texture. High-pass it so the low end stays out of the way, then add some gentle movement with autofilter. A little saturator or redux can help it feel more worn in and less polished. That roughness is good. In context, it becomes energy. Now think about the arrangement shape. A 4-bar build is often enough for a tire roller style section, while 8 bars gives you more drama for breakdowns or bigger drop-ins. In either case, the riser should grow in stages. Don't just make it one long straight climb. Let the synth layer rise first, then bring in the ragga texture, then give the final bar a bit more bite. This is where you can really use contrast. If the section before the riser is dry and controlled, the build will feel bigger without needing to be huge on its own. That's a really important production idea. Power comes from what disappears before the moment arrives. Now shape the transition with a few key automation moves. Open the filter progressively. Raise the resonance a little near the end, but not so much that it whistles painfully. Add a touch of saturation toward the final bar to increase urgency. Bring in reverb lightly at first, then let it bloom a bit more before pulling it back just before the drop. That pullback matters. You want the very last moment before the drop to feel like air being sucked out of the room. If the reverb rings too long, the drop loses impact. A great transition often sounds slightly too short when soloed, but that's usually exactly right once the drums and bass come back in. For a bit more modern punch, add a short burst of brightness in the final beat. You can do this with a little echo, a short reverb, or a subtle lift in the top end. Keep it controlled. Drum and bass needs precision. If the riser turns into a blurry noise cloud, it stops helping the arrangement and starts getting in the way. Also, keep checking your low end. The riser should not steal space from the drop. High pass the synth layer, high pass the vocal or break layer even more if needed, and check mono compatibility with utility. A solid DNB drop wants a clean, centered foundation. The transition should help that, not compete with it. Once the chain is sounding good, resample it. This is one of the best Ableton moves you can make at this level. Print the riser to audio, then treat it like sample material. Trim the front edge if you need a tighter start. Shape the tail so the drop has space. If you want a little more tension, reverse a short section before the rise starts or right before the final hit. That gives you a nice inhaling effect. Resampling also makes the sound more editable. You can nudge the timing, cut the last 100 milliseconds, or add fade so it lands perfectly before the downbeat. In jungle and DNB, that level of sample style control is often what makes a transition feel professional. Now place the riser in a real arrangement. Don't judge it in solo only. Put it before a bass switch, a breakdown return, or a full drop. Listen to how it interacts with the drums. A good riser should feel like it's answering the groove, not floating above it. If the drop is busy, keep the riser cleaner. If the drop is sparse, you can let the riser be more vocal and atmospheric. Either way, avoid leaving sub-frequencies in there. The bass needs to arrive with authority. For extra glue, group the layers and process them together with a little compression or saturation. Keep it light. You're aiming for density, not flattening. If the build feels weak, try adding a little more upper mid movement rather than simply turning it up. In raga-flavored DNB, the emotional cue often sits in that mid-range vocal area, somewhere between roughly 700 Hz and 3 kHz. That's where the personality lives. One more important habit: check the build at low volume. If it still reads clearly when the speakers are turned down, the arrangement is working. If it only feels exciting when it's loud, it may be too dependent on brightness and not enough on shape. Now let's talk about a really useful variation. You can make this into a two-stage riser, one layer that's atmospheric and restrained, then a second layer that enters in the final bar with more bite. That setup and payoff structure is powerful in darker DNB and jungle rebuilds. You can also try a reverse to forward hybrid, where a reverse texture swell leads into the forward riser. That gives the whole transition a more cinematic, haunted feel. Another good move is to let the riser answer the drums. Try cutting it out for a beat or half a bar and letting a snare fill or break edit take over. That call and response feeling is a huge part of old school jungle energy, and it keeps the transition feeling alive instead of constant. Let's quickly cover the most common mistakes to avoid. Don't make the riser too wide and noisy. That can wash out the mix and weaken the center. Don't let it run too long into the drop, or it will steal impact. Don't build only with pitch and forget texture, because then it sounds generic. And don't overdo resonance. That can create a painful whistle that gets fatiguing fast. Also, don't leave sub-frequencies in the transition. High-pass it properly, check in mono, and leave the low end for the drop. That's one of the easiest ways to make the whole track feel cleaner and heavier at the same time. Here's a quick practice challenge. Build a 4-bar Moonlit Jungle riser at 174 BPM using Wavedable or Operator, add a raga vocal chop or break fragment, process it with filtering, saturation, and reverb, then resample it to audio. Trim the tail so it lands cleanly before the drop, and check it in mono. Then mute it and ask yourself, does the drop still feel as strong? If the answer is no, then your riser is doing its job. For an extra challenge, make 3 versions, one clean and punchy, one darker and more atmospheric, and one that leans more raga and jungle. Compare them in the same arrangement and see which one gives the strongest arrival. That's a great way to train your ear for what the track actually needs, not just what sounds cool in solo. So to recap, the Moonlit Jungle riser is all about contrast, clarity, and identity. Use automation to create the lift, add vocal or break texture for jungle character, keep the sub out, resample and trim for precision, and always judge the rise in context with the drop. If you can make the riser feel like it's breathing with the drums, you're in the right zone. All right, let's build it and make that transition hit with modern punch and vintage soul.